Morning. I will hereby call to order the Palm Beach Metropolitan Planning Organization meeting. Today is Thursday, June 18th, 2015. The time is 9 a.m. And our first order of business is roll call. And we have many new members at the table, so welcome. So please conduct the roll call.
Robert Weinroth.
Here.
Mary Lou Berger. Eric Dablin, Melissa McKinley is excused, Bruce Guyton,
here,
Hal Valache, Keith James,
Paula Ryan is alternate,
Cam Triolo,
I'm Scott Maxwell, I'm here on her behalf.
Steve Abrams is excused. Priscilla Taylor is excused. Jim Koretsky.
Here.
Richard Valuntas.
Jeff Marisol.
Steve Wilson.
Here.
Susan Haney.
Here.
Matt Wilhite.
Here.
Michael Fitzpatrick.
Here.
Shannon Materia.
Here.
Wayne Richards. Carrie Glickstein. You have a four, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. I'd like to welcome Commissioner Guyton. This is your first meeting. Welcome to the MPO. And also welcome back Mr. Koretsky, Councilmember Koretsky. It's been a while. We're welcome. And all the alternates that are here, Vice Mayor Maxwell and Commissioner Burdick. It's always nice. And welcome Commissioner Ryan and Councilman Hamera. Wonderful. Great to have you all at the table. So at this time, I'd like to ask Mayor Wilson to lead us in the invocation and the pledge, if you'll please rise.
Thank you. Thank you. In place of the prayer of invocation, I'm going to ask everyone to please just pause for a moment of silence in place of the prayer. And while we're thinking and having that pause, think of the family members of this county, which we know we had. The death angel came upon us, not only here, but in the state of South Carolina, Charleston, to be particular. Keep those family and the victims in your heart, please, at this time. Moment of silence, please. Thank you. Would you please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
We'll now move on to our agenda. Nick, are there any changes to our agenda?
No, Madam Chair.
Well, then I'll entertain a motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
So we have a motion by Wilhite, a second by Burdick. Any further discussion? All in favor state so by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Members, you have the minutes of May 21st, 2015 before you. Any additions or corrections?
Motion approved.
We have a motion by Wilhite, a second by Hamera to adopt the minutes as presented. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor state so by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, great. Comments from the chair. I'll be very brief. Our new MPOAC director, Carl McKiska, started on Monday, which was very nice. Our former director, Howard Glassman, has accepted a position with let's see if I can remember the name, one of the big firms, engineering and transportation firms. So he will still be working with us. So that's really very, very exciting. And all of you received your resolutions by email to add the additional members. It must be an affirmative vote of resolution by every member of this body to go ahead and add those additional members to our board. So if you can all just get those on your agendas and get those adopted in a timely manner, we can go ahead and get a permanent seat for Royal Palm Beach and invite Palm Springs and who else got the original? And then Green Acres will be our three permanent members. So I think that's a very, very positive and inclusive thing. So that concludes my comments. Executive Director's Report, Nick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Following up on that remark, if any of you would like me to attend your meeting where you're acting on that update to the interlocal agreement, please let me know. I'd be happy to show up just to facilitate any questions that may come up. The second item for me, you may have noticed some of the graphics that we've placed around the room. Wanted to highlight those for your attention. These are created as part of our partnership with South Florida Commuter Services, and our goal in doing this is to create more of a transportation ambiance to our to our meetings at the MPO. So we appreciate any feedback you have on those and any suggestions you may have for additional content so we can develop some more things like that. Next item for me, just highlighting on behalf of the City of West Palm Beach, the launch of their Skybike West Palm Beach Bike Share Program that was launched on June the 6th at 10 a.m. Fantastic event, very well received. There are now 12 stations around downtown that provide the opportunity for residents, employees, and visitors to borrow a bicycle in 30-minute increments to take those short trips around town without getting into a car. So we're very excited about that. Next item for me, PalmTran has made real-time data available. They already have their iGo system that allows you to know exactly where the buses are and how close they are to picking you up at your particular stop. They've also made that data available publicly, and some third-party developers have begun to use that information to provide real-time transit directions from point A to point B using that information. One such third-party developer is a program called Transit App, which I'm just highlighting for you this morning, but we may be bringing a future presentation to you on the way they've developed not only the PalmTran information, but also TriRail, BCT, MDT, and even Uber and the Bike Share program. All of those modes of transportation are available to you for trip planning through that transit app. So if you have a smartphone and you want to give that a shot, it's a very user-friendly application. Just a reminder for the board as part of this report that MAP 21 was extended for 2 months, and so its new expiration date for federal transportation funding is July 31st. That program is primarily funded through the federal gas tax of 18.4 cents per gallon. That gas tax on a national scale generates roughly $34 billion per year. However, the authorizations seek to spend $50 billion per year. So there's going to be a lot of discussion over the next month and a half regarding how to extend that funding program, whether to reduce the authorization of spending or whether to find additional revenue to maintain those spending levels. So we'll keep you posted as more information comes available. In fact, just yesterday, Representative Ryan from Wisconsin, the House Ways and Means Chair, did conduct a hearing on long-term financing, but said increasing the gas tax was a non-starter for him and the rest of his party. So it's going to be a challenging discussion, finding that funding. Next item on my report, the Florida Department of Transportation is continuing their update to the state transportation plan as well as the SIS, the Strategic Intermodal System Policy Plan. They're conducting a regional workshop in Fort Lauderdale on June 24th at 1:30 p.m. That's at the Fort Lauderdale District DOT office on Commercial Boulevard if any of you need directions or would like to attend. And the last item on my report for you, All Aboard Florida is currently installing a third track in the West Palm Beach station area. This will be a bypass track that will function to allow freight operations to continue while station work is underway on the primary tracks. There have been several temporary grade crossing closures in the vicinity of the West Palm station, and these are expected to continue through July at the select intersections in both West Palm and the same type of construction happening in Fort Lauderdale. Regarding the additional crossing improvements that will be made along the entire corridor, the Archer Western contractor that was selected by All Aboard Florida is finalizing their construction schedule, and they will be sharing that with the cities as well as with the MPO and the county to make sure that everyone is aware of which crossings will be impacted at which anticipated dates. So we will share that with you as soon as we receive it. And that concludes my report this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Nick. We appreciate that. We'll now move on to our consent agenda. We have two appointments on our consent agenda. Is there any member that would like to pull any member? Mr. Burdick.
I have a question for Nick.
Okay,
sure. With regards to the crossings, can you update us on any changes to the ongoing maintenance agreements? Are we having conversations with All Aboard Florida on that?
Can you speak to the microphone?
At this point in time, the expectation is that whatever percentage of the maintenance expenses are allocated to the local government with jurisdiction over the road, those percentages will also apply to the additional infrastructure that is going to be installed as part of this project. So what that means, for example, is if the county pays 50% of the maintenance at a particular crossing, for today's infrastructure, they will pay 50% of the maintenance expenses for the additional infrastructure as well. If you pay 100%, then you'll end up paying 100% of the maintenance cost for the new infrastructure. What we have discussed previously and what is still true also is that the capital cost to install the additional infrastructure for the system, the minimal safety improvements required for the All Aboard Florida project, will be paid by All Aboard Florida. And the capital cost associated with the additional safety equipment necessary for the quiet zones will be paid with the MPO funding. So there will be no capital cost to the local governments as part of the project.
Thank you, Nick. That's very important as we move forward. And we're just all going to have to communicate very closely as to which crossings are closed because it's going to be a real issue on traffic. All right, so now we're on consent agenda. Is there any member that would like to pull any item from the consent agenda? Shannon?
Sorry, this is not about the consent agenda yet.
We'll
eventually get there. This is actually a question for Nick. As you know, and most of the folks on the MPO know, the city of West Palm Beach has two crossings that are being closed because of All Aboard, and we have two locations within the city that we would actually like to open to help our connectivity based on that separation. One is 7th Street. I can't remember what the second actual road is, but we could use some help on that, and I would like to know just exactly how we go about that and bringing it up and putting it on the MPO agenda.
Well, the MPO doesn't have authority to mandate the railroad
to
open those crossings, but we could certainly schedule it on an agenda if you'd like.
I would.
So that
I would like to have
the MPO
conversation.
Could take that position.
Yeah, I think it's important for us to all recognize, while there are a lot of positive things that are happening, it's going to actually create some unintended consequences as well that we need to be able to address. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you. Councilmember Fitzpatrick.
Nick, I wasn't clear on that third rail. Is that just temporary while construction is going on, or is that going to be permanently bypassed once construction is completed?
Boy, that's a question I'm not sure I know the answer to. I'll find out, and I'll let you know.
Further questions of Nick? Now we're moving to the consent agenda. Is there any member that would like to remove any item from the consent agenda? Is there any member of the public that would like to comment on any consent agenda item? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, so we have a motion by Wilson and a second by Maxwell. Any further discussion? All those in favor state so by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed. Great. We're now going to move on to general public comments. And I have the first card is Jim Smith. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question. By now, you know that I love you guys, or I wouldn't come to the meeting here.
And we love you too, Jim.
But today, I'm going to speak like a very strict parent to you, so bear with me. Most of you are old, young enough to be my daughter and son, especially the ladies, so I think I can treat you like sons and daughters. Please pick up the speed in adopting a complete street policy. Miami-Dade and Broward are way ahead of you. There also needs to be stronger leadership demonstrated when it comes to funding for all our roads, especially county arterial roads. They are nowhere near where they need to be to conform with a complete street policy. They are unsafe today, and they do not provide safe transportation for all modes of transportation. SAFE believes that taxpayers would support either a sales tax increase or a bond issue because they know what terrible shape our roads are in. One of the most important elements in the complete street policy is the need for sidewalks so that children may walk safely to school. Your MPO staff is currently gathering cost data for constructing sidewalks in radiuses of a half, 1 and 2 miles around all Palm Beach County Elementary School. SAFE will be meeting with the Palm Beach legislators and attending the Palm Beach legislative delegation effort meeting in an effort to convince them to sponsor or support two bills in the next session starting in January. Making texting while driving a primary offense and a second bill that would provide funding for sidewalks around all elementary schools by a date certain without having to go through all the red tape of applying for a grant. This cost data will be extremely valuable to both them and to you. SAFE drafted a bike PED TDM Complete Street Coordinator job description for you to review. SAFE has met with Nick about the possibility of matching funding for local positions, but he was reluctant to investigate possible funding sources unless and until he receives direction from this board, and SAFE understands that. That's the reason we're asking you this morning to simply direct him to take the first step of searching for possible funding sources. Let me close with a quick example of what boots on the ground will do. Suppose, look at all these posters in South Florida Commuter Services. If we had someone who actually made a cold turkey call to a business downtown and in less than a minute showed them and signed them up on their smartphone for the employer Tri-Rail discount program, which would let the employee take Tri-Rail for $60 a month, take a free shuttle into downtown, would cost him only 60 bucks for all that transportation, would take a car off of I-95, would take a car off a local street, and would free up downtown parking spaces for 8 or 9 hours. That's what that person could do. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim. Always great comments. Nick, let's talk about a bike ped TDM complete streets coordinator.
Madam Chair, what Mr. Smith is asking of the MPO to investigate is a grant by which we would pay a portion of municipal position salaries, which frankly is outside the scope of what I think the MPO's funding is intended to accomplish. Now, if the board really wants me to investigate that, I'll look into it.
No, I agree with you. Who on your staff fills that that role?
So Fran Taylor is sitting in the first row of the audience. She is our bicycle, pedestrian, and TDM coordinator, and she is the person hired into that position at the MPO, which was roughly the same job description as the information that Mr. Smith distributed to you this morning.
Okay.
So she is our countywide bicycle, pedestrian coordinator. Now, do I think it's valuable to have a colleague to work with inside of the municipalities? Absolutely, I do. Where I struggle is whether or not the MPO should be contributing funding to the salary paid to that individual within our different municipalities.
No, and I certainly share that concern. However, as part of your job, I would assume that you'll go out and work with communities to achieve these goals. So at least we are, providing that service. Okay, great. Thanks.
And maybe one follow-up. To the extent that a municipality is particularly interested in doing a bicycle or pedestrian plan for their local government, I would encourage them to approach us at the MPO so that we can allocate short-term consultant resources and staff resources to facilitating that effort and assisting them in that project.
Okay, great. I think that's appropriately addresses the issue. Kim Glass-Castro? Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm here today in my capacity as the Land Development Director for the Village of Palm Springs. The draft transportation improvement plan has some roadway improvements that are within the Village of Palm Springs. You might remember I was here last October with Sandra Jinks, the principal of Palm Springs Middle School, and Captain Perez from the Palm Springs Police Department expressing concerns about the intersection improvements that are proposed at Forest Hill Boulevard and Kirk Road. There are a tremendous amount of school children from Palm Springs Middle School who walk across the intersection here, and we're concerned about the design of the improvements and how pedestrian safety can be compromised, especially with any northbound maneuvers that are directed towards Palm Springs Middle School. So while we generally support the project, we don't want to see the funding just pulled from the TIP, because there is definitely improvements needed to help the westbound direction. We still have concerns about the eastbound direction, especially the maneuvers that go to the north on Kirk. DOT, thanks to Nick's help, has informed us that they're going to be sharing their revised designs June 30th. So we'll learn more about how they've addressed our concerns that we expressed last fall. Another project that's in the TIP that's within the Village of Palm Springs is resurfacing a military trail, and we hope that that would include some landscape opportunities to help this roadway, which is otherwise just commercial sprawl and has really no characteristics at all. But other than that, we don't ask for an amendment to the draft TIP, just have some concerns about the projects that are within it.
But it sounds like DOT has committed to revising those designs to address the concerns expressed by Palm Springs?
We hope so.
Okay. All right. Let's play it by ear. Okay. Thanks so much
Thank
for
you.
Coming forward. We appreciate it. David London?
David London, good morning. I haven't been here in a while. Since Nick mentioned the gas tax issue, before I get into the main subject, one of the sharks on Shark Tank has put up now $6 million for 50% interest in a company called Zero Pollution Motors, which is a compressed air company, which I actually put a $1,000 deposit on, or had that put on. Pat Boone is one of the people involved. One of the models is sitting in front of the Museum of Science in Miami, the old museum. It's a cute little thing. It's called an AirPod. So the long-range implications are quite remarkable in a lot of areas. The main subject I wanted to, actually, I think he's supposed to be on CBS Sunday morning between 9 and 10:30. They previewed that. Pat Boone, anyway. They're supposed to produce it in Hawaii right now. But obviously, if a city or a group wanted to have it produced in the area, there might be an interesting opportunity in the States to do something like that. Responding to the article in the Palm Beach Post, the 16th and earlier, about the longtime Palm Beach County Commissioner aide, Cindy DeFilippo, who died on a car crash. She's sitting in a passenger seat. She got sideswiped. Unfortunately, the county commissioners are not here. But I mention it because if you remember my being here or perhaps even the City of West Palm Beach Commission, there's a range of, well, for example, there's a company called XP Vehicles that try to get stimulus funding for producing a pressure membrane vehicle. See, we think that every time there's an accident, it's an accident. It's all design negligence. It's all unnecessary. It's kind of a negative collusion between the industry and the government, because we only have 2.5 mile per hour bumper standards. A pressure membrane vehicle out of the space program back 11 years where a vehicle bounced on Mars is the kind of technology that the company tried to develop, tried to get stimulus funding, and the story of that is quite remarkable what happened. They've had to sue the federal government, Department of Energy, for $500 million. You can look on the XP Vehicles. And the consequences of that is the death of this longtime county commission aide. So what I've suggested at times at the city commission, for example, maybe here, is that you get your police together with some kids who are having trouble, don't have anything to do. You start gagging some old vehicles, that you start them at 2.5 miles per hour, you go up to 3 and 4, and you try to give them a project to solve the problem at their level and build it up to the point that you create a goal to be able to make a super safe car. Back in 1987 at the South Florida Science Museum, a gentleman who I knew very well, who passed away, had a car that you can go into a brick wall because it had a split-section chassis. 1987, he demonstrated it. Long story of what happened to that. The last item I'll mention, this was in the Palm Beach Post, page A2, on Tuesday, June 9th. It's about the NTSB that said that about of the 1,700 deaths due to, collisions, 80% of these could be solved because anti-collision avoidance systems have been recommended for adoption a dozen times over the past 20 years, but progress has been very limited. So each of you, as perhaps not as a board, but as city, you can take some of these ideas and do something with that. Because
thank you, Mr. London. We appreciate your comments. This is general public comment. Is there anyone else present that would like to address the MPO on any item? Seeing no one come forward, we'll close that section and move on to our action items. Our first item is a resolution authorizing the executive director to execute a JPA with the FDOT for grant funds to amend the FY15-18 Unified Planning Work Program. Nick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's my pleasure this morning to introduce Fran Taylor. She is our bike ped coordinator to briefly present the item and answer any questions you may have.
Welcome, Fran.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen of the board. As you know, the MPO has been awarded the opportunity to participate in a grant program through the Federal Highway Administration to the tune of $20,000. This will provide us seed money to acquire technology so that we can pursue data collection for bicycle and pedestrian traffic travel. So the item before you is a resolution authorizing the executive director to execute a JPA so that we will be able to receive those funds, amend our UPWP, and pursue that task.
Thank you, Fran. Members, any questions for Fran of this item? Mr. Guyton.
Yes, and thank you, Madam Chair. Just a question regarding the outreach program, or if there is one, as it relates to the 38 municipalities. Does the MPO have an outreach program for the bike and pedestrian program?
Regarding this count program or in general?
In general, piggybacking on the request of one of the participants about funding, which I agree with the chair and staff that that might not be a feasible option. But the alternative is having an outreach program from the MPO that can assist the municipalities with whomever they may have as a contact person.
What we've tried to do so far is make ourselves available and organize community educational activities. Additionally, we do have the Bicycle Greenway Pedestrian Advisory Committee, which many municipalities are members of and participate and receive shared information. So, yes, we are open to other ideas for outreach. I think typically what we've done so far is public education and then professional knowledge sharing.
Thank you very much. Further questions of Fran? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Burdick, a second by Wilhite. Any further discussion? All those in favor state so by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed. Great. Thank you so much. Great to see you, Fran. Appreciate all the good work you do. We'll now move on to our next item, which is a resolution authorizing the executive director to submit an application to the Florida Commission of the Transportation Disadvantage for a planning grant. Nick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's my pleasure to introduce Valerie Nielsen. She's the MPO's transit coordinator, and she's going to present this item and answer any questions for you.
Welcome,
good
Valerie.
Good morning. As the chair mentioned, this is a resolution authorizing our executive director to apply to the commission for the Florida Commission for the Transportation Disadvantaged for a planning grant. And this planning grant agreement will be brought to the board at our next meeting for authorization for your approval.
Thank you, Valerie. What's the value of this grant?
At this time, we don't know, but we are hearing back from the commission, and we'll bring that to our next meeting.
Okay, thanks.
And Madam Chair, previous years, it's been $47,000,
okay.
So roughly $45,000 to $50,000.
Okay. No, that's very substantial. Wonderful. Members, any questions for Valerie on this item? Thank you very much. I'll entertain a motion.
Moved.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Weinroth and a second by Materio. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor state so by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed. And then move on to item C, which is our FY16 to 20 tip. Nick.
Madam Chair, I have a brief presentation for you this morning. So I'm going to go through that quickly and then try to answer any questions that you may have. But I'm going to move around to the other side of the table so that I can advance the slides.
Okay.
Okay, so this microphone works a little better. The item before you this morning is the Transportation Improvement Program for fiscal year 16 through 20. I'm going to give you an overview of the timeline to get to this point. If you look back in summer of 2014, so last summer, all of our stakeholders submitted projects for consideration by the MPO. At the same time, the Department of Transportation was identifying projects important to them. Last September, this board adopted its annual list of prioritized projects, and DOT was also following the adoption of that list, evaluating available funds and the cost to implement those projects, trying to match those things up. In December, the Department of Transportation presented what they call their draft work program to the MPO, demonstrating how they have funded the MPO's list of priority projects. At that point, the MPO was able to and availed itself of the opportunity to submit comments and objections to the work program. Just as a reminder, that's the point in time when this board objected to the delay of funding for the State Road 7 extension project and requested additional funding be allocated to your new local initiatives program. In the spring, the department circulated that program to the Florida Transportation Commission along with the other districts around the state, presented that to central office for approval, got the governor's approval, and is still working to obtain the legislature's approval of the first year of that program as a budgeted allocation of funds. In May, we circulated this same document repackaged in the federal format as the Transportation Improvement Program for your review as an information item, and now in June it's coming before you and has gone already to your advisory committees, and it's looking for your vote of adoption for fiscal year 16 through 20. The executive summary that we developed 2 years ago in response to the board members' comments, and we're continuing to try to refine. And again, we love your feedback, and if you have any suggestions for us as to how to make this a more useful and understandable document, because we know it's huge and it's hard to interpret that much data, we did create an executive summary a few years ago that facilitates what we call a pro-level review, a proactive review of the MPO's priority projects. We highlight how they're funded in tables 1 and 2 of your executive summary. A reactive review of the projects that are going forward for construction or implementation in fiscal year 16. Those projects are highlighted in Table 3. And then an overview of major changes, deletions, or modifications from your adopted TIP, which addresses fiscal years 15 through 19, and the draft TIP for 16 through 20, because there are 4 years in common between those two documents, and we want to highlight whatever changes are occurring in those particular 4 years. So that's the point of the executive summary. In addition, this time I wanted to give you a big picture and highlight some changes in the way we're presenting information to you. First of all, the overall project investment is $2 billion over the next 5 years, nearly $2 billion. What we've done in this particular version of the TIP is we've actually grouped the projects by category according to the long-range plan that was adopted by this board in October. And we're going to go through those categories in a little bit of detail. And again, I'll keep it concise. We've also improved project naming just so that you know things like State Road 806. We want to call that Atlantic Avenue because most of the people in the community understand that that is Atlantic Avenue. They may not know the state number. So we've also improved what we think is a better presentation of project mapping so that you can find projects more easily. CIS capacity projects. Madam Chair, if you'll indulge me for maybe 1 minute, I need to make a brief modification to the slides that are being presented to you.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, thanks.
You're serious.
You're breathing?
That's the MPO, right? Nick, you can't just talk us through it? Please?
I will. Okay. I know. I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's
not quite what I wanted it to be. I apologize for that. I will talk you through it.
Okay.
So.
There were a couple of, just as a disclosure, there were a few projects that were included unintentionally, erroneously, in the summary slides and in the draft tip that were removed from the document that's before you for adoption. The slides, I thought, had been updated to reflect those modifications, but these are outdated and don't address that change. So I will talk you through it. So what we're showing in this slide is the level of investment in the CIS capacity. That's the first major category that we've divided projects into. CIS capacity is roughly, it's roughly 31%. It's around 30% of the overall funding in your program. And again, the strategic intermodal system is primarily the major highways that connect the Palm Beach County to the rest of the region, the Beeline Highway, the Turnpike, I-95, and Southern Boulevard. And I would also add US 27 into that discussion, although there's not a significant amount of funding on US 27 in our five-year program coming up. What I wanted to highlight on this slide was not only the significant level of funding in the next 5 years of the TIP, but also the significant amount of future funding that will be needed to complete the projects that we're starting in the next 5 years. So, for example, in the Turnpike, you see a large number of future funding. That's because the initial funding in the next 5 years is for design of the widening of significant portions of the Turnpike through Palm Beach County. The actual construction of those projects will take a lot more revenue and a lot more time to implement fully through Palm Beach County. That's the point of this particular slide. The MPO major projects category is a new breakdown, and what we're trying to do is say, the projects that you've identified as important to this area in your adopted long-range plan that you have then gone forward and prioritized as part of your annual list of priority projects are going to be identified separately in the TIP. Right now, those projects comprise $137 million of the overall funding in the program. That's roughly 7% of the total. The State Road 7 extension project is number one on that list. There are some transportation system management. That's what the TSM here stands for. Corridor improvements for both State Road 7 in the western Boca area and Glades Road from State Road 7 all the way to eastern Boca Raton. The FEC quiet zone funding is part of this. The Tri-Rail northern layover facility is part of this category. A second Tri-Rail station in Boca Raton near Glades Road is part of this. And then the Tri-Rail extension. What I want you to note here is that we are funding, substantially implementing most of the major projects on our list with the exception of the Tri-Rail extension, and we're going to continue to work to advance that project north into Palm Beach Gardens and Jupiter. Then the local initiatives program. What we're looking to do in the long-range plan is to set aside your surface transportation program sub-allocated funds, the SU funds, to implement projects in this program. The intent is to have local governments apply annually for projects that are important to them, and the MPO's role is then to prioritize those applications according to your long-range plan. The TIP funding for projects is roughly $14 million over the next 5 years, but the desired level of funding, if we were to allocate all of those STP funds, is $85 million. So this is a brand new program that was adopted into the long-range plan last fall, and it will be a growing program over time. There are 26 projects currently on the list seeking funding through this program. Nine of those are fully funded. One of them is going to be removed because it was the bridge rehab project on US 1, and we won't need the MPO's funding for that because the replacement funds will be sufficient to provide the bicycle pedestrian facilities we wanted. The remaining 16 projects on that list need roughly $34 million to fully implement them as intended. We have received additional applications for this program, and we will be bringing those new projects to you next month as we consider adoption of the update to the priority project list. So we'll be looking to add more projects to that list of 26 projects. Transportation Alternatives Program, some of you are familiar with. This is a longstanding role of the MPO to allocate a small portion of federal funds, roughly $3 to $5 million per year, to local project applications for non-motorized transportation. Our TIP funding level is roughly $17 million over the 5 years. We have 27 projects on that list, and all of those projects are fully funded for implementation in 16, 17, and 18. It's a three-year funding program. We do have applications, again, that will be presented to you next month for funding in fiscal year 19. New category that we want to make sure we highlight well for you, this major maintenance category. These are projects identified by the maintaining agency. And the reason we want to highlight these for you is they represent an opportunity through the MPO to enhance the existing facilities by modifying the scope of a maintenance project or adding to the scope of a maintenance project. Significant projects on this list, State Road 80 bridge replacement in eastern Palm Beach County over the Intercoastal Waterway is a $90 million investment.
the State Road 715 resurfacing project, Hooker Highway resurfacing, Military Trail, State Road 7, and State Road 80. These resurfacing projects are state-funded, and they represent opportunities, as Commissioner Materio pointed out, to enhance. No, it wasn't Commissioner Materio.
No.
Who asked about Lake Worth? As Ms. Glass-Castro represented requested of the board, that Military Trail would be an opportunity to enhance that corridor while you're performing a maintenance of the corridor. Minor projects, and this is another new category. What we're trying to do here is identify projects that are being advanced by the funding agency. For example, Palm Beach County funded projects through their local option gas tax or their impact fee revenues. City funded projects that are important to our local governments but that are not advanced through the MPO funding process. Or Department of Transportation projects that are being advanced using discretionary funds such as highway safety dollars that should be advanced without negatively impacting the MPO's funding of its first major categories, its first five categories. So TIP funding is roughly $122 million, 6% of our total, and I've highlighted some of the more significant county-funded projects for you on this presentation slide. So that brings us to the action item, and we've had a lot of discussion about TIP funding and what the role of the MPO is and whether the TIP is funding the projects that are important to the MPO or whether we'd like to redirect some of the money to make sure that the MPO's sub-allocation of what I call the SU funds on this slide, the surface transportation funds, are being applied to its priority list of projects. So options before you today, the motion on the agenda reflects option two. And the reason it reflects option two is that the committees have heard the presentation of this of these slides and this and these options, and all of your committees have recommended that you adopt this morning option two. Option two, let me just run through the bullet points, would move money in fiscal year 17 from the version of the program that was presented by the DOT. In particular, it would move surface transportation funds, which DOT had allocated to I-95 at Linton Boulevard, a CIS project, to a Palmtran maintenance facility, which is an MPO priority project. Now, again, the SU funds are the MPO's sub-allocated portion of the federal surface transportation fund. So those are funds that are at the most, that the MPO has the most discretionary influence over. And in response to that, if you were to move those funds, the DOT's response has been, we would like to keep our I-95 at Linton Boulevard project whole. So the reaction to that would be to move money off of your lower priority, priority number 10, the $1.7 million of state funds from that were designated to design the Atlantic Avenue widening project. Those funds would be moved from Atlantic Avenue over to I-95 at Linton to keep the CIS project whole. Now, that's the shuffle that we had informally discussed at a staff level with the Department of Transportation staff that we had been interacting with. The committee saw that and recommended that the board take that action. Following the committee's recommendation, but just prior to us distributing the agenda to you, we received a letter from the Department of Transportation's district secretary. That letter said essentially, if the MPO chooses to adopt a modified TIP, the Department of Transportation will choose not to approve that modified TIP. They don't want you to make the changes shown in option two. A couple of reasons for that, but I think the primary reason is they want to work with us in developing the next update for years 17, 18, 19, 20, and 21, as opposed to taking an opportunity this morning to dictate the outcome of that collaborative process. So they're saying, please don't change fiscal year 17. That's not the way to influence the process. Tell us through the next item on your agenda, how you expect us to allocate resources, and we will work with you better next year to ensure that your expectations are met. So I think that's the primary concern they have raised and encouraged the board to adopt the TIP as shown in Exhibit A without modifications.
All right. So your recommendation is that we adopt it without the modifications, but in our next item, we're going to address it on a go-forward basis.
I think that's the best way to keep everyone collaborating well.
No, I agree, because this letter, and we'll distribute it to everybody, was pretty strong. It was like, if you send this up modified, we're not going to adopt it. You know, and I certainly don't want to jeopardize every project in this county, but I also, in conversation with Stacy Miller and with Jerry O'Reilly, who are our two new District 4 representatives, they see what we're trying to do and they support it, but they say it's going to take a few years for that pot of money to grow. So, you know, I think we're on the right path. But it's not no, it's just not now. So any questions, concerns, yes, Commissioner Greitens.
Yes, I just have a question of clarification, and certainly I agree that all of the projects shouldn't be jeopardized. But are they basing their decision of not to modify the TIP on any specific criteria, or is it just their preference?
Rather than me inferring the motivation in their letter, I would just refer you to item 3A, which actually has the correspondence from DOT in the backup material of your packet. And we can put that on the screen, too, if it would be helpful. But we did include the letter for you. So rather than me try to interpret what I think they were was their motivation, I'll just say you can read the letter for yourself.
Well, and they were pretty clear. It says, it is important to note that the Secretary would not be in a position to approve a TIP that is inconsistent with the STIP. Projects in the MPO area would be in jeopardy of not being implemented. I mean, I don't know how much clearer you can get than that. So that's what we're up against. However, they affirm what we're trying to do to create more dollars in our local initiatives program. And again, as they said, you know, it's going to take a while for us to, you know, grow that funding source in the manner that we're doing it. So, yes, Commissioner Guyton.
So, follow-up question, and I'm just perused the letter very quickly. But would it be something that they would consider in future years as the funding grow? Is that how I'm understanding this?
Yeah, they understand what we're trying to do. And in my conversation with Stacy Miller, she indicated that it's just going to take a while to grow those sources and to comply with what we're doing. So they're willing to work with us, but at this point in time, you know, the Secretary will not approve our TIP if we modify it. So,
okay.
So, yes. Commissioner Kretzky.
Well, if I understanding what I'm reading here and what I heard, this is a fiscal year 17 item anyway, and we have the opportunity to actually resolve it in time for that to happen anyway, right? Is that what you said?
That's correct.
So,
right.
You know,
so we're not.
It seems logical that we're not necessarily making, we're not giving up on that, and it still could happen.
Absolutely.
But in a more collaborative way.
Absolutely. And that's very well put. And that's exactly what's happening. They want to partner with us. They see what we're trying to do. It's just at this point in time, they can't achieve it. So, but I'm confident that we will as we go forward. So further comments or discussion? Nick, anything further? No? All right, members. So before us, we have the motion as presented of the non-modified TIP, correct?
Exhibit A.
Right. The motion as presented in Exhibit A.
Okay.
So moved. Exhibit A.
Second. Okay. So we have a motion by Wilhite, a second by Burdick on this item.
Just a comment.
Yes. Commissioner James.
It should be no surprise that I will be opposing this TIP because it continues to include the work on State Road 7.
So noted, Commissioner James. Any further discussion? Yes, Mr. Guyton.
Yes, under the local initiatives program, are those projects being approved under this motion?
Yes. Well,
the funding for those projects that is highlighted in the tables in the executive summary is being approved as part of the TIP.
Okay.
Yes.
Just a quick comment. Riviera Beach has, out of the 26, we have one, I think. And there were some questions about the scope of service. And I don't know, maybe Nick, you can answer this question for me. We revised the scope of services, and as you all know, I'm I'm new to the board, and we had another member working on these issues. So this is more of, for clarification for me. I see to be determined by our project. What does that mean? There is no specific allocation or date.
Refresh my memory. Which project are you?
This is the one on First Street and Blue Heron Boulevard to install decorative. First, it was to mill and resurface the concurrent FM.
This is Australian Avenue.
Australian.
Okay. Yes. The summary that we're providing there, we're giving you a window into how these projects are being implemented and what issues we are currently working on to address their implementation. That particular project is not funded in the next 5 years of the TIP, but we will be continuing to work with the Riviera Beach staff. I believe your city engineer is here this morning with us. And we've been working with him actively to determine, first, the appropriate scope of work to be accomplished by that project, and then, second, the eligibility of federal funding to accomplish that work. Once we have those answers, which we fully expect to have those answers by the time we present the updated priority list to you next month, you will see a more clearly written scope of work and a request for funding in the update to the TIP that will happen over the next 12 months.
Okay. Thank you, Madam.
Great. Further questions? Commissioner Humara.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Is that on?
Yep.
Yeah.
One of the, not belabor State Road 7 extension, beyond which it's already been belabored, but just simply to ask the question, looking at the funding profile as it exists right now, we know that it aligns with the work plan that we saw from FDOT. Should there be an opportunity, as we're hearing about the possibilities of identifying additional funds sometime in the future, perhaps next year or even the year after that, to move the construction funding forward, and we were to see that in a work plan, would we then revise the TIP accordingly?
More than likely. Well, first of all, we're continuing to work collaboratively with the department to find funding for the State Road 7 extension in earlier years than fiscal year 20. If that effort is successful, the likely place that you will see the results of that will be in the presentation of the department's work program in October. And then the full implementation and approval of that work program will happen when we adopt it as the TIP next summer.
Okay. So,
the first time we'll see it is probably October. It is an information item for you to react to and understand what they've been able to accomplish working with us for funding, and then formal approval of any advance would happen next summer.
Okay. So it wouldn't be likely that this funding profile that shows the majority of the funding, construction funding out in 2020, be misconstrued as the desire of the MPO, with certain exceptions that I respect, but it wouldn't be construed that way just because we've made it formally part of the TIP, right?
I don't think it would be construed that way. I mean, this board did formally object to the delay of that project in December when they were first presented with that fact.
Okay.
You know, the board has to adopt a TIP. So the interesting question is, can you adopt a TIP with reservations? I don't know. Obviously, trying to modify the funding in the TIP
didn't work.
Doesn't seem to be a supportable course of action.
I understand. It just struck me that, you know, a formal document like this, and certainly yeah. There are enough of us around that we understand how we got to where we are, and we wouldn't fail to mention that to be sure that it's not misconstrued. But
no, and we objected as a board, and we're disappointed to see that funding put in such an out year, except for West Palm Beach. I don't believe they shared our disappointment. However, we will continue to, as funds become available, move that priority back to a funded position. So,
thank you.
Okay, further comments or discussions? Seeing none, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor state so by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Nay.
Okay, please raise your hand for nay so we can. Materio, Keith James, and who else? Burdick. Okay, great. Please have the record reflect that. All right, Nick, we'll move on to item D.
Madam Chair, again, I apologize for the header on this presentation slide because it was supposed to be updated and I missed that. So it should be item 2D. This is the TIP funding resolution. And what we're trying to say with this resolution, both your opportunity to say to me and then my opportunity to work collaboratively with the department to implement these expectations, is the following several bullet points. That we want to fund CIS projects with CIS allocated revenue. So if it's a strategic intermodal system project like I-95 at Linton, fund it with the revenue associated with the I-95 corridor. Don't take the MPO's sub-allocation of SU funds to build that project. Also, we want to fund our MPO major projects with a component of the state's STP, or Surface Transportation Program funds, allocated to them, a component of the district dedicated revenue, a component of the district revenue that can be used statewide, and the district public transportation revenue. So projects like the Tri-Rail extension, like the State Road 7 extension, we want to advance those projects with revenue associated with implementing those major construction projects, again, without negatively impacting the local initiative program that we're seeking to establish. And then thirdly, we're asking for direction to implement the local initiative program with the SU funds where possible in the earlier years, and then let's put all of the SU money toward that program in fiscal year 20 and beyond. Now, that's a big bullet point because right now $11.5 million of your SU funds in fiscal year 20 are going to the State Road 7 extension project. So that implementing that bullet point will be contingent on us finding other money to build the State Road 7 project. Next one is that we want all of our SU funds to go toward MPO major projects or local initiative projects on your adopted priority list. And I would suggest, based on your approval of the previous item, that we tweak the resolution for this item to say fiscal year 17 and forward. The reason we wrote it to say fiscal year 18 and forward was that we were anticipating you were going to change fiscal year 17 and the department was going to support that change. Now that we've understood that's not happening, just as Councilman Koretsky pointed out, I would like you to tell us, go forward and make the change in fiscal year 17 collaboratively as part of your ongoing update. So I just ask that you amend that bullet point to say fiscal year 17 and forward. Last two, that we want to fund transportation alternative projects with transportation alternative revenue. That's an obvious bullet point. And then the last one is really a reaction to the Lyons Road Safety Project, a project that was important to the western communities in western Boca Raton, that the county engineer had pursued funding through the state, through federal safety program funds, and then the state found that they didn't have enough money to build the Lyons Road project with those discretionary resources. To address their shortfall, they pulled money out of the MPO sub-allocation of funding. What we're saying is, please don't do that anymore. If you make a commitment to build a project for someone out of discretionary resources, then please honor that commitment with your own resources. Don't create adverse effects on the MPO's priority projects. So that's my concise as I could put it, a summary of what I would like you to tell me as expectations. Now, these are policy directions, so if you have any modifications that you want to make, this is a good time to have that discussion. But I think having a resolution like this will be very helpful to me and to the department in understanding what we expect the rules to be going forward.
Thank you, Nick. Any questions or comments on this? This pretty much is directing Nick to go work collaboratively with the DOT to achieve what we're trying to accomplish here. So, okay, thank you so much. Seeing no further discussion, I will entertain a motion with the amendment to fiscal year 17.
So moved. Second.
Okay, so we have a motion by Hemera, a second by Guyton. Any further discussion? All those in favor state so by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed. Great. Thank you, Nick. Item E, modified process for annual evaluation of the executive director. Are you coming back down here or are you staying back down there?
So, Madam Chair, briefly, the the backup for this item is that when you went through the process of understanding how you wanted to hire a director, you also realized as a board that you didn't have a process in place to evaluate the performance of that director that you selected. So one of my first tasks was to come up with a way for you to decide if I'm doing a good job or not. So I put together a draft last year that the board approved, and once we implemented that draft, there were some feedback, some comments on maybe some changes that we'd like to see happen. That same committee met again a month or two ago and made those recommended changes to the evaluation process that are before you this morning for approval. So what we're asking you to do is say, yeah, this seems like a good way to go forward with the evaluation. The only other item I want to make a point to reference is that the evaluation committee did suggest a task for the MPO this year would be to develop a strategic plan that would form the basis of future evaluations of the director's performance. We don't have such a document in place, so I thought that was a very good idea and would look forward to working with you in the development of that over the next year, understanding that we would modify the evaluation process again next year based on the outcome of that strategic planning effort.
Thank you, Nick. Any questions or comments on this item? Commissioner Fitzpatrick.
Well, finances are a little tighter in Boynton, perhaps, than other places. So I'm looking at this where it says, if we think Nick did an outstanding job, so we've got a rate at a 5, for instance, that corresponds to a 5% raise. And the problem in Boynton, we often say, hey, you're doing a level 5 job, but we're not going to give you 5% raise. So because part of it is, if we give the director a raise, we should be looking at giving a raise to most of the rank and file too, so it kind of has a cascade effect. So is that what this is saying here, that it says an average score of 3 corresponds to a recommended 3% raise? So
Nick, you want to comment? Nick is an at-will employee, but he also is under the purview of Palm Beach County personnel requirements. So Nick, you want to comment on that?
Commissioner, that is the intent of the system, with the understanding that a recommendation of a change in my compensation would ultimately be subject to approval by the county administrator in advancing a budget decision to the county commission. And I will point out that really, unfortunately, and I don't like the system we're playing under right now, but it's the one we live in, a compensation adjustment to me does not correspond to a compensation adjustment to the remainder of the MPO staff members. The MPO staff are county employees that operate under the county's umbrella, and they are assigned to the MPO for a performance of our various duties and responsibilities. So those MPO employees receive the same compensation adjustment as anyone else would receive in the county. So if the county staff get a 3% raise, the MPO staff get a 3% raise, independent of their particular performance or lack thereof in any given year. The other point I'll make is, with this evaluation procedure, it is a recommendation, an opportunity for the MPO board to recommend anywhere from 0 to 5 as an adjustment in my compensation, which I would point out is actually incurring a little bit of risk on my part, because if the county is going forward with a 3% raise across the board and this board says I'm only meriting a 2% or a 1% raise, then I would carry that recommendation as well, and I would get less of a raise than everyone else would.
True. And, you know, and I just want to point out that we realized when we hired Nick that we had never evaluated Randy in 30 years. So that was something that this board was rather concerned about. And we also discussed the need for a strategic plan so that we can measure his effectiveness. So I think the executive committee is going to move forward on both of those. So this is just a motion to adopt the process. I mean, we're not reviewing Nick at this point or making any recommendations, but it's just an affirmation of the process. Commissioner Wilhite.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I fully support the concept of having an evaluation process. Obviously, as you say, nothing was done for years. A change in the director, that process of hire, and all that kind of stuff we went through. But I would kind of probably dovetail on the fact that, you know, if there are other rank and file employees of the county or the MPO staff are getting a certain raise, or any of the directors are only getting a certain raise. I don't know, as though it really our benefit to our MPO staff that works with us every day to just say, yes, you're doing good, but the director is getting more. You know, I think that maybe that's a leadership aspect too, that shows the fact that, you know, if your staff is doing so good, that then the leader of that team maybe shouldn't just be automatically getting a 2% more raise because three people, you know, on this evaluation committee think that they're good. But it just, you know, again, all those other members of our team here that work here and do all the work behind here every day are then historically probably going to get a 2% less raise. So I'm just giving a recommendation, I think, as Commissioner Fitzpatrick is doing, is that maybe we should look at what the county does, because they've done 3% raises historically over the last couple of years. You know, even though our director, whoever it could be, is doing a great job, maybe they could stay in the line with everyone that's doing that. Because at the end of the day, I guess after some time, if this is consistent, the MPO director could be a pretty well financially stable position or sought after if we're talking about 5% raises every year when not everybody else has gotten that. So I would think just from a leadership aspect that team and the director should consider maybe not those kind of raises every year. I know this last year you received a pretty good raise from the starting. And so I'm just saying looking forward as well.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Valachet.
Just on behalf of the county, I know that we've talked about this recently, and two things. One is we've, you know, because we had a sort of five-year period where nobody got any raises at all, we've been, I think, interested and supportive of doing a 3% raise per year. But what I brought up at our last executive session, which talked about raises, is, you know, one thing that's important is COLA, you know, should not be 3% anymore. I mean, inflation has been under 2%. The Federal Reserve is trying to figure out a way, very counterintuitively, to get inflation to rise more quickly. And so that 3% number, which I think everybody sort of has in their head as, you know, that's a COLA type raise. And when I asked Brad and Bob Weissman about it, they said, yeah, this is not, it's not a merit thing. It's a COLA thing. So we need to maybe adjust our thinking in terms of what a COLA raise really should be. And maybe it should be 1.5%, maybe it should be 2%, but, you know, that's what we're talking about here. So I think that needs to be factored into this discussion. It's not, you know, necessarily about Nick's compensation, but just in general, raises for the staff should be, if they're COLA raises and not merit raises, we need to rethink what COLA really is.
Mm-hmm. So. Good comments. Thank you. Commissioner Kretzky.
Well, I would have thought most municipalities are somewhat like the town of Jupiter. We have a manager council form of government. So, you know, the manager gets evaluated separately, you know, and doesn't get the same as everybody else gets. Sometimes less, could be more. So, I'm comfortable with this. I was surprised when I looked at the package that this evaluation was being done, because, as you said, for years it never was done. So it seemed like the process being proposed is an improved one. And so in that regard, I support it. And I do think we really should be considering the director separate from the staff. I mean, I also didn't know what the county did in the way of, paying for performance. But, you know, I've been a big advocate of that in the town. And so we're trying to earmark a portion to performance, so it never should have been everybody gets the same thing. But we're only accountable here, as I'm sitting here as an EMPO rep, is for our director. So the process you're proposing seems to be a good one.
Okay, and it gives us the discretion. Yes. Yep. Mayor Wilson. Oh, is that your card? Oh, no, that's Mr. Fitzpatrick. I'm sorry.
Well, if I really thought Nick was going to be getting twos, then that would, to me, would indicate it was time to look for a new director. I really think he's close to 4.5, 5 easily. But the point is, do we really want, is we going to tie that into making that's going to be making that the compensation? Because if it is, then who's ever doing it might want to scale 3s just to keep it in line. And I think Nick's doing a great job, but I don't know if it should be so tightly connected.
Okay, thank you. Good point. Any further discussion on the process? Seeing none, then I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, so I have a motion by Wilson, a second by James.
Madam Chair, just for clarification.
Mr. Wilhite.
I think we're on E.
Yes, we are on E.
So that's just the process.
It's just modify process for annual evaluation of the executive director, yes.
Okay.
So we have a motion and a second. Further discussion. All those in favor state so by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed. Thanks. Now we're on to item F, which is the at-large members to the Executive Director Evaluation Committee. Nick.
Madam Chair, it's really at the board's discretion, based on the process that you just approved, to appoint 3 at-large members to serve on this committee along with the chair and vice chair. And informationally, we have provided the 3 members who were appointed to this committee last year. One of them is not on the MPO board any longer, so we would need at least 1 new member to be appointed. And it's, again, it's at the discretion of the board as to whether they want to reappoint the other 2 or select from their membership.
Thank you. So members, along with the chair and the vice chair, Commissioner Berger and Mayor Wilson and former Councilwoman Harrison served on the, in this capacity. Since Councilwoman Harrison's no longer with us, we do have an opening. So if anybody would like to volunteer or make a motion to appoint someone, let's have some discussion. Anybody else want to volunteer their time to serve on the Executive Director Evaluation Committee?
I was going to offer maybe like Commissioner Materio or somebody that's been here. And
I will.
Okay.
I do first.
I do. Okay.
I do.
Well, I'm already married. I'm sorry.
All right. So then, yes, Mr. Kretzky.
Just had one item. You know, what is the time period that the evaluation is done?
Annual.
No, I know it's annual, but for when? Because, for example, not having been here, when I saw this on the agenda, I already imagined I was going to hunt down Councillor Harrison to make sure that I'm getting the input, because it wouldn't be fair to me to do that review, right? Because don't we all give input in?
Yes. Yes.
So what is the time period that the review is done?
Yeah.
For what time period?
Nick, when are those due again?
So the procedure that we just approved would be to distribute the evaluation form to all of the board members to evaluate my performance over the previous 12 months.
So 12 months to this point in time.
That's right. And any recommendation that the committee would make would then be endorsed by the full board for implementation as part of the federal fiscal year, which commences October 1st.
Okay. Any further discussion? So, Mr. Wellhite, will we assume that that's a motion to approve adding Commissioner Materio?
Berger, Wilson, and Materio.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, we have who's second? Commissioner Burdick. Thank you. So we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor state so by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed. Great. Thanks so much. We'll now move on to information items. Nick, just the correspondence, which I didn't realize that was in the packet there in the back.
Yep.
That was the letter from the DOT.
That's correct.
Okay. So we'll move on to administrative items. Member comments. Any member have comments? Mr. Kretzky.
Yeah, I wanted to share the town had a meeting on June 1st that included representatives from All Aboard Florida and FEC. And obviously this has to do with the All Aboard Florida project. The meeting approach we used was that we told All Aboard Florida that they had to include FEC reps so we could get answers because really we've been hearing so much hearsay. And the agenda included 3 pages of questions, so there was no surprises. We gave a very structured, and we went through every single question. That was the format that we set up. So All Aboard Florida and FEC clearly came in with an objective, and that was to get Jupiter to either support or at least not oppose All Aboard Florida. So, you know, I was didn't know what to expect, but and I was the one that really compiled the 3 pages of questions from inputs from a lot of other people. But we had the people that were there for those of you that would know the individuals, Rusty Roberts, I think it's Bob Ledoux, he's with FEC, Jose Gonzalez, Ali Sol, Michael
Redinger.
LaFour, who's an operations planner, and then Claire, and I didn't get her last name. So some of those were consultants. So All Aboard Florida, FEC. And and the topics that we covered was the Loxahatchee River Bridge, the train speeds and trip volumes, the public safety design enhancements, features along the corridor, train blockages at crossings, and at the bridge, and then license and utility agreements and miscellaneous, and just some of the key takeaways. Number one, one significant one to us is we have a 90-year-old bridge at the Loxahatchee River, and I was able, and, you know, everything is so secretive on this, I was able to get answers to specific questions. The remaining useful life on that bridge is about 5 years. The intent is to replace most or all structural members. They're not planning, and the design basis, while it was at one time two trains, it had been reduced to one train, and that was the reason why we were able to live with the deteriorated structure. And they're planning to go back, and they're going to go back to a two-train design basis, which means they have to do significant structural work. They're not planning to raise the elevation, and they claim not to be aware of the Jupiter Inlet District's request, which we feel is a very practical approach. And so our takeaway from the town in hearing this, and it was quite disappointing, is if the plan is implemented, the bridge, they're going to put so much money in replacing the bridge piece by piece, because that's easiest for them, with no improvement. It's like our world was 90 years ago when people only had rowboats. You know, and I don't exaggerate. Then we feel then if that were to happen, then, you know, the likelihood of getting the bridge raised in elevation won't happen in my lifetime, foreseeable lifetime, because they're investing so much money in it. So we have an intent to really pursue getting the bridge raised. I mean, and it's disappointing, but, you know, any other process, you know, we would be working within, that'd be a consideration to be really doing what is a wholesale replacement. Secondly, you know, we've heard all this hearsay, and we had them actually give us speeds at every crossing because, you know, we had heard about seal corridors and whatever, and I'm sure most know that, you know, the reports of 110 mile an hour. So we got the speeds at each crossing, and as an example, and I could get some of this information to Nick or anybody else who's interested in the details. But it's going to be 110 mile an hour at all the way up to Tonopena Road. Actually, Tonopena Drive, actually 109, because we had the operations person. We knew that when you cross the bridge, there was a limitation, and at the bridge it has to be at 60. But we happen to be in the zone where. You know, within the town to the county line, because we include Jupiter and, I mean, Tequesta in our area of concerns, it's going to go from 110 to 60 and back up to 110. So we're going to be in that zone where trains are going to be either going as long as they can before they have to slow down to get over the bridge and then quickly speeding up to get on their way. So, you know, we were able to kind of confirm that. So that painted the picture of what we wanted to make sure we understood. And then we then got into talking about safety design enhancements and what they said. And we were focused on the sealed corridor. And to them, the sealed corridor that they were talking about was just at the crossings. And nothing yet had been decided about between crossings, which was our area of focus. And they indicated it won't be for probably another year in their process. Now, the town, like, we're not like, you know, West Palm or some other areas. We have a lot of areas where you won't have crossings, but we do have known, you know, pedestrian crossing areas. One in the area just actually north of Tonopena Drive, so that's why I was trying to get the crossing speeds to understand risk. And, you know, because, you know, the FEC exec, you know, they really need to get somebody that markets better than he speaks, because it's amazing, because he referred to, as we expressed concerns about safety, he referred to anybody that would be crossing in a known area as trespassers, and I kid you not. Now, we consider them as human beings that we have to serve. but that's really what we're dealing with. And then so we have an intent to pursue sealed corridor, not through everywhere, but my gosh, if you have known areas where people cross now, you know, we feel like, and we're going to allow speeds to 110. Now, I know people may say, well, it's going to stop quicker than a, you know, than a freight train. But, you know, the reaction time, you know, you're crossing and now you have a train coming 110 mile an hour and you have the potential for people that don't really understand the risk and they've been doing it for years and decades. So they didn't seem to be sensitive enough to us on that. So again, we're going to be pursuing to ensure
Jim,
we have.
Jim, you know, as you at the city work with, in your town, work with them, you know, keep this board abreast of how you do. Yeah. Because no, I think
exactly.
I think it affects all of us.
Oh, it does.
Yeah. And I think it's important that if you make some headway and get some concessions from them, you know, please share that with us so that, because I think every municipality, including the county, is at the table with them at this time. So.
Understand. So let me make it clear in my update. I just have a couple things more here.
Okay.
Just
sure.
Add, because okay. We didn't make any headway. We eliminated any hearsay, and we have clear understandings.
Okay.
And there was no – it's like it is. You know, regarding license agreement, I mean, there's no doubt. FEC asserted they're the property owner, and they allow the public the privilege of crossing across at crossing areas that they have. We've always heard you're never going to get another crossing unless you give two or three up.
Right.
So we've been wanting a crossing by our hospital for years. So if the MPO were to take on that, we'd like to try to get one, but we've always heard it's an impossibility. And quite frankly, even, you know, again, to their attitude on license agreements, because, you know, I think I was here some time back filling in, and I recommended, some type of coordinated approach in the license agreements. And if they don't put the fence in and we have to put the fence in, it was made very clear, and I was hoping they weren't going to behave this way, but we'd have to get their approval to put the fence in, and then it would increase our lease payment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's crazy because, you know, I know up and down the corridors where governments truly use some of the property for parking or some other use. The only thing we would ever use it for is either putting a fence on to protect the public or some type of landscape to mitigate from the track. So try as we may to appeal to the FEC to kind of get, you know, some sense while they had wanted something from us, would they change? Absolutely not. They had every intent. And basically the thought about trying to coordinate, we all get paying the same lease agreement, they said they at least I heard, they very candidly priced differently as the market will bear.
Yep.
Anyway, it was disappointing, but one thing that was – I was very pleased that they came with a good group of people, and we didn't put them in a – and that's one thing I would recommend that – that was how we were successful, is we made it as non-threatening as they could. Now, they know they were coming up to, a friendly group because they saw the questions, but they knew that those were the questions. We didn't allow the public to answer any questions, and we just went through one by one by one. And so we got answers. But, you know, the future with their plan is we're going to get a 90-year-old bridge replaced in kind, no improvements there. We're not going to get sealed corridors. They don't seem to care about. That's something they say, you know, likely we can handle. And then we can expect our lease payments to go up significantly. So it's kind of disappointing. And I realize that some on the MPO are supportive, but I wanted to represent the town's concerns so that you all understood why we're not.
No, and we appreciate your comprehensive report and sharing your experience. Commissioner Valachet?
Well, I appreciate the comments, and I've been put in a similar position representing the north part of the county. But just in terms of what the MPO does, we've been – and it's been difficult for me because I'm the vice chairman of the MPO, and our major focus throughout this whole process was negotiating safety improvements and quiet zones with – all aboard Florida, and I think we have a consensus here that it's really not our position or aim to become adversarial with all aboard Florida, because we're trying to negotiate with them. And we've, you know, we've put gotten money from a Tiger grant to help improve safety at the grade crossings. And you individually and I individually can express our concerns about this, but as an MPO, I think honestly the best thing for us to do is just to continue to negotiate with them on a non-adversarial basis and make sure that the, you know, whatever we can get. And, the, you know, they haven't been unresponsive, I have to tell you that, to the MPO at least. But, you know, we need to keep negotiating with them to, you know, provide the safety improvements and provide the quiet zones. And so while it's a Jupiter issue, it's a North County issue for me as a commissioner, it's not an MPO issue.
No, and I understand that, and I wasn't given that report trying to begin the process of persuading the MPO. I get that, but I wanted the MPO to understand why where we have issues that have to be concerned to represent, you know, our communities, and we're going to pursue them. And the disappointing thing, although they came prepared to address us, they also seem to say emphatically no. So it seems to me the only recourse we have, quite frankly, is perhaps federal legislation.
Commissioner Materio.
Briefly, on a completely different subject, a couple of meetings ago, we were addressed by a representative from PalmTran, and I brought up the PalmTran station that is on Forestal Boulevard. And if you've not, I just wanted to keep everybody aware. If you haven't read it in the paper, they're shutting that particular bus stop. And I wanted to thank PalmTran and let the MPO know that turned into a very positive result for that family that's had a lot of visitors every hour for the last few years sitting on their lawn. So I really do appreciate that they were responsive and worked so quickly to deal with that.
Thank you. And I'd like to report, too, that they moved. I made a request for moving a bus stop in Boca Raton, and they did move it. So, yes, I appreciate that. Moving on. Commissioner Wellhite, you had your card up.
I was just going to make mention, Madam Chair, that this last meeting we approved a project going forward from Southern Boulevard South on Flying Cow Road, a multi-use path grant of about $700,000 we received. We only had to put about $80,000 into putting this project to help with pedestrians and in this Beltway project to continue going forward. So I think it's a great project that we were able to ascertain a large grant to fund it.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Vice Chair Maxwell, you had your card up.
Well, thank you. Just for what it's worth, I'd like to announce, if you already haven't heard, that the City of Lake Worth has a $3.5 million appropriations line item waiting for the governor's approval for our Boutwell Road.
Great. Congratulations.
Keep our fingers crossed. And for those of you who have the cause to have contact with the governor's office between now and the end of this month, if you'll please remind him not to redline that item, but we feel very, very good about that. We're very happy, and we thank you all for your individual support.
Excellent. Congratulations. Let's hope for the best. Any further member comment? Seeing none, our next meeting is July 16th, and hearing no further comment, we are adjourned. Thank you all so much.